a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. In quick succession, Luke offers these three parables of God's desire for us. And although we will stop short of the lost son today, we know his story is next in this gospel lineup. Three stories of brokenness: a broken flock, a broken necklace, a broken family. Three stories of brokenness that end with the promise of wholeness. Stories that invite us to enter in and consider the ways in which we become lost. Lost from community, lost from ourselves, lost from God. Stories that invite us to allow God to find us anew. Stories that reveal to us a God who will not rest until restoration is complete. Today, a sheep and a coin. God as shepherd, that we know. In a moment, we'll get to the tiny little parable in which God appears to us as a woman carrying a broom. I would hazard a guess that stained glass images of the Good Shepherd far outweigh windows depicting God with a broom in her hands. After all, it isn't nearly as glamorous as a Good Shepherd. Not that shepherds were ever glamorous. We have elevated their status in our retelling of their stories. We have a tender spot for shepherds. And even as I mention the word, your mind may go to the 23rd Psalm and the many times you have heard it read, the many times you have recited it yourself. We have a tender spot for shepherds because they were given a place of honor on the night of Jesus' birth. Those ratty outsiders were welcomed in by angels and then invited to hold God in their muscled arms. They were some of the first to cradle the Lamb of God, and the lost are found. We have a tender place for shepherds because Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He is the one who leaves 99 behind so that he can find the one. That one. In my mind, I always imagine a lamb, maybe because I've seen it depicted that way so many times. But that's not what the text says. Maybe it was an old sheep who had lived out most of her best years, barely even useful as sheep were concerned, except to a shepherd who was maybe aging along beside her. Or maybe it was a pregnant sheep, too tired to keep trotting along. Or what about a sheep with attention deficit disorder, right? Easily distracted, inadvertently getting separated from the flock while following a fascinating cricket through the tall grass. Maybe a wounded sheep, a sick sheep, a sheep that simply could not keep up. Maybe a lazy sheep. In those seasons when you have lost sight of the shepherd, can you name the cause? Could you still hear his voice in the distance but just couldn't catch up? Were you wounded? Physically, emotionally, spiritually? Wounded and just fell behind? Were you just too tired to keep up, struggling to maintain a life of faith? A typical sheep separated from its flock will not survive. They are communal animals. They are not go-it-aloneers. And besides, the shepherd offers protection and nurture and shelter. A shepherd is there to assist with the birthing, to shear the wool, to clean the wounds. And so it is true for us as followers of Jesus. We need one another, and we need to stay within reach of our shepherd. There is not one of us in this room who hasn't been a straggler at some moment in our faith journey. Grief or guilt or fear, all of those things can separate us from our shepherd and from our flock. All the questions, such as why me? Or why now? Or the what have I done? Or who could forgive me? All those questions. We get tangled up in these like a sheep trapped in a thicket. But God will always pursue us. God will always come looking and carry us back. God will not let us go as we struggle with even the hardest, heaviest questions. That bond of love between shepherd and sheep, between God and human, it is both vulnerable and strong. When my oldest son Josh was at Mississippi State, he left his 80-pound bulldog with me for a whole week. It was in the summertime. He had to go to D.C. for a trip with his school. It was a team of engineers. Now, he left me as many instructions as if he were leaving me with a grandchild instead of a grand dog. What Buddy could eat, what Buddy could not eat, how many walks he needed, how often he was allowed to get wet, how I had to clean the folds of his little bulldog face, and what to do if. Now, everything was fine until one morning when I had Buddy and one of our other dogs out in the unfenced backyard, and in the blink of an eye, Buddy was gone. An 80-pound bulldog simply vanished. Nowhere to be found. I took off down the small creek behind our house, no Buddy. I ran back and got in my car and started driving around the neighborhood. I knew he loved children. I was looking to see if he'd followed someone, no Buddy. I called my husband and both of our other sons and said, "Get home from work now, I've lost Buddy." It was July in Nashville, which is not good for a bulldog. After almost 2 hours of looking, my phone rings. It is Josh, calling from D.C. "Mom, did you lose my dog?" Whew, Buddy had been picked up by animal control several miles from our home. And of course, they'd called the number on his tag. Buddy had been spotted chasing a deer through a neighbor's yard. A few minutes later, a van pulled up in our driveway, and a tired, hot, and happy Buddy tumbled out. The shepherd who found him, instead of fining me for allowing my dog to get lost in Rome, which he could have done, said, "Oh, he was happy to bring Buddy home for us. Now, I know Buddy is just visiting in Nashville. These things happen." I had feared being shamed. I'd already been shamed by my son, right? I'd been scolded. But this man, instead of scolding me and fining me large sums of money, he offered mercy. And that's what a shepherd does. Shepherds come to us in a variety of unexpected forms. People who find us and bring us home. People who offer grace rather than shame. And shepherds aren't the only ones searching. Sometimes God is the woman, broom in hand, sweeping the floor to find one lost coin. Jennifer Copeland, reflecting on this text for the Christian Century magazine, writes, Nobody ever painted Jesus with a broom in his hand, even if the metaphor of sweeping is used several times by the prophets to refer to God. Yeah, you might want to look those up. Luke, however, pairs these stories in such a way that a broom carries as much weight as a shepherd's staff for symbolizing God's care. The point of both stories, of course, is that God will seek us by any means available until we are found. In order for us to appreciate fully the depth of God's seeking, Jesus intends for us to identify personally with the search. For indeed, God's love is as personal as it is universal. She adds, God validates the work of sweeping every bit as much as the work of shepherding. In the sweeping, God searches, but also cleanses. I like to imagine God, broom in hand, patiently sweeping away the dirt from our lives and restoring us to our God-given image. In this way, we are each uniquely found by God, since we each have our own unique ways of being lost. Our own corners that need sweeping. Our own unique ways of being lost. That is so true. And sometimes it causes us to misunderstand one another, to misread what we see, to judge. So let us come to this space with grace in our hands. Let us pass that around when we pass the peace. Grace and mercy. There's enough judgment outside those doors. No one ever plans on getting lost. Sometimes we're given poor directions or an outdated map. Consider how some of our interpretations of Scripture have been reimagined through the years, and how those new interpretations have made it possible for many who were lost to be found. For divorced individuals who were once excluded from the table. For LGBTQ+ individuals who were condemned. For women with a call who had no place to fulfill it. So many who had been lost or could have been lost, but need not be now. I was thinking about all this lostness and foundness and thinking of a friend's church in Birmingham, Edgewood Presbyterian, which is a church much like ours. Last spring, their beloved retired pastor, Sid Burgess, became lost one Saturday while on a day hike in the Bankhead National Forest. The church, under the leadership of Joe Ganau, was active in supporting the search efforts, which turned into a 3-day odyssey. At one point, the search had to be called off entirely due to threats of tornadoes. Finally, a team of searchers approached at about 1 p.m. on Tuesday. Now, he'd been lost since Saturday. From the other side of the river, Sid heard a voice yelling to him. It was Jacob Evans of the Christian Aid Ministry from Berlin, Ohio. He hollered to me from across the stream, Sid said. I said, "Who sent you?" And the man shouted back across the river, "Jesus!" Teams of rescuers from all directions had gathered to help find Sid. It's what they do. And this team does it in the name of the Good Shepherd. Sid was airlifted to safety and promised his wife not to hike alone again. Calls came in from various hiking groups, each extending an invitation to Sid to join them in exploring nature together. Paul Anderson, a retired 42-year veteran of the National Park Service, told Outside Magazine that suspending a search is one of the most gut-wrenching experiences you could ever go through. An incident commander will decide to suspend a search when the missing person is presumed dead or the conditions are too dangerous for the searchers to continue. Adding to this, Dave Prouty, president of the Mount Hood Search and Rescue Council of Oregon, said that if it were up to the volunteers, I don't think we'd ever call off the search. The volunteers never want to quit, even when the professionals say it is just too dangerous. Perhaps human as we are the emergency responders with limited capacities, limited abilities. But God the Good Shepherd, God the Sweeper, is the volunteer search party, never giving up, no matter the circumstances, searching for us all, arms flung wide and welcome. Arms flung wide to carry us home. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who loves us enough to search and find us, no matter where we may be. Thanks be to God. Amen.